It is Thursday, September the 3rd. The time is 1:31 Hawaii time. Reading number 136. Copyright 2009, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved. It's Carolyn with
JW and Ion.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. It looks like we're going to do medicine with Ion today. So,
wonderful.
If you're set, okay, good. A couple of things out of the alphabetic sequence came to me that I wanted to know a little more about. And the first one is sleep apnea. There seem to be so many people with sleep apnea these days. I wondered what Ion's take on it was.
Okay. Now, are you talking about, there's many kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Some they treat with a CPAP, and some they treat with a BiPAP,
mm-hmm.
and some we have to go at it from where you're asking, because if you're just doing the apnea part, that's easy. It's the way the muscles are controlled that close down the airways or pathways in your slumber.
Mm.
From that aspect, so we would probably need a clarification that would say which one.
Okay, I got to get what you said. Close down your airways.
Yeah.
Ways in your slumber. Well, the one I know about is the clients that turn up and say they go to a sleep clinic and they're told they have sleep apnea and they're usually put on the CPAP machine and most
or a BiPAP depending on what kind they have.
Yeah, and I don't even know the word BiPAP. I'll have to look
BiPAP that up. Is okay. BiPAP is where you have so many foot pounds of pressure for your breathing.
Mm-hmm.
A CPAP has a continual forced flow to keep the airway open.
Oh, I see.
A BiPAP, as you breathe, the meter goes on one side to the other.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you'd set it like 40 foot-pounds of pressure, and then it might go to 70
mm-hmm.
from the inhale, exhale, depending on the type of apnea that you have.
Okay, so the BiPAP, bypasses, and if you're not making a breath, it'll give it to you. If you're breathing okay, then it doesn't bother.
CPAP, what it does...
No, but just answer me. I don't know. Because I'm just saying, is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Yes. And then a CPAP has a continual force of air
mm-hmm.
going in,
mm-hmm.
which allows you to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what that's all about, typically, they say it comes from a place of, what you'd go to have plastic surgery for if you have the turkey neck or you're heavy or something like that. Many people in their rest, that it's more pressure through the esophageal pathway
mm-hmm.
that allows air to flow.
Mm-hmm. Well, the air doesn't go down the esophagus, but...
I understand, the bronchial pathway, but it comes from the esophageal tract that
mm-hmm.
sort of gets big
mm-hmm.
and closes the airway to the bronchial path.
Huh.
Is that the right word? We don't
bronchial,
know.
Yeah. So then that the area that's the demarcation between where you swallow down and where you breathe through,
mm-hmm.
you're saying that it gets swollen, or what?
The esophageal gets larger and closes,
mm-hmm.
allows that the apnea part or the lack of flow into the bronchial flow of air.
Wow.
So that's why we had to be clear, because, see, you're talking about a couple of different dynamics there.
Well, what causes the esophageal area to get enlarged?
Typically, the disconnection is from the lack of satisfaction in the consuming of calories.
Mm-hmm. So the esophagus gets bigger in order to try to get more down?
Um, mm, No, not exactly. Typically the folks that go to a sleep clinic and they get hooked up to the EEG and the wave patterns and all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
typically they would have the jowls, meaning they'd be their neck would be larger. Sometimes heavier people are more easily diagnosed. Now, you notice we said diagnosed. We didn't say that's what it was.
Mm.
Sometimes they're more easily overweight.
More easy? Do you mean more often diagnosed?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. And what happens is you're heavy, okay?
Yeah.
And then you have more weight.
Mm-hmm.
And your jowls are larger. When I say that, you know what I'm talking about, the turkey neck, the
sure,
bigger
sure, sure.
neck.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't want to say that's the cause, but we're just saying that's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're heavier, okay?
Yeah.
In their mass, and they lay down, and when they lay down, that extra weight is displaced, where gravity would be pulling down. When you're in slumber laying down, then you lay down, and then the beginning stages of what they address this from is from snoring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, snoring has very little or nothing to do with it. But typically the big snorers are ones that ease into this discomfort place of sleep apnea. Now, sleep apnea, by definition, is where you go into, even in a seizure activity, because there's another dynamic to this, to where the actual, when you go into REM sleep,
mm-hmm.
deep sleep, rapid eye movement, when you're out,
mm-hmm.
you actually physically cease breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you cease breathing, you have to wake yourself all the way up to gasp for air.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that happened to you personally, that would be a dramatic, traumatic, a huge, big deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for the average sleep apnea person, that's just kind of normal.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrestle in their sleep all night long because they quit breathing and then they go for 30 seconds to a minute, wake themselves all the way back up, or so much so that they're out of REM sleep, get their breathing back going again, the same as if they put a pillow over your head, you'd frail about.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had a pillow on your head all the time, you'd get real comfortable with it. You just move the pillow, catch your breath, and lay back and go back to sleep, and never really what you call become cognizantly awake.
Mm-hmm.
So this becomes a pattern, and this pattern then does not allow your body to have a good disconnection time
mm-hmm.
from physical to non-physical.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is you get up tired.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've been burning all these calories, not resting well, or having a good disconnection, so therefore then you're hungrier.
Mm-hmm.
You get up in the morning and you feel like you've been chopping wood
mm-hmm.
all night. And many people have that experience from time to time, but the sleep apnea,
mm-hmm.
we're playing, but
mm-hmm.
the one that they would call with that plight,
mm-hmm.
they are never rested completely because their mind is having to remember to wake them up to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, therefore, guess what happens? They're tired, so they don't have as much movement as far as their tactility in their day, and they're hungry because they're burning all these caloric values,
mm-hmm.
and their esophagus is already a little enlarged because they're eating more, because they're trying to get energy to be able to function when the energy is not about the amount that they're eating. It's about the sedentary position that they find themselves of being tired all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you know what happens? It starts affecting the adrenals. It starts affecting everything, digestion, every other aspect that comes through that process to the point that they then gain a little more weight or
mm-hmm.
get heavier. Then that extra heaviness as they lay down is displaced, and it puts more pressure on the esophagus and the airway, the air path.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you call that? The bronchial what?
Bronchial tract.
Well, it's very close to the esophagus, and it's the
trachea.
Trachea, yes. And those are all coming down together. Then you add the extra weight that's displacing. It sort of confines it even more. Well, you're not mm-hmm. eating when you're dead asleep. Well, some might be, but typically you're not eating or consuming. So therefore, that extra pressure then starts affecting the trachea.
So, is that the general sleep apnea? Because just before you started that, you were talking about the seizure part. Is that a different one?
That's a different aspect that can come as an onset.
Uh-huh.
And the amount of, when we're very specific now, if anybody has the BiPAP or the CPAP, that's about how many foot pounds of pressure of air that it takes to keep your tracheal pathway clear so you can breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it does.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the outcome of that process of wearing this great big mask, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes they have to add humidity if you're very dry.
Right.
Some people are dry, so you can have humidity that they can add and keep that moistened. Sometimes that helps. But as you're increasing those foot pounds of pressure, it keeps the trachea inflated so the air can flow easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So actually we're describing the disconnection as the remedy, as the disconnection. So you see why it kind of gets a little twisted, because if someone's in that position, the answer is, okay, they say I have sleep apnea. They put me on a BiPAP or a CPAP. I can't rest because I have this great big contraption around my face head, and it exposes, and God forbid the power goes out because it's over.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get myself in a position where that's not my experience and I no longer require the BiPAP or CPAP?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is you have to stretch yourself to a level of tiredness that will allow you to stay in a state of slumber. And when you do that, meaning if you are able to walk, walk more. If you're able to exercise or have tactility, walking, functioning, swimming, anything that requires, expend your energy in your physical bodiness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that successfully and not one of those that snap on the couch,
because
many people get this and they sit up when they're sleeping on the sofa or chaise or whatever they do,
mm-hmm.
they can do okay. Well, then they go to bed and they've already rested 3, 4, 5 hours,
mm-hmm.
and then they go to bed and then they lay down and then they're choking or have this issue. So it's the tail wagging the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find a way to decrease your body mass,
mm-hmm.
increase your activity,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're not saying, you know, jump into this big regimen of becoming a triathlon bodybuilder, because
mm-hmm.
that can be an issue too when you get your pecs and your obliques and everything so buffed up. That extra muscle weighs more than fat.
Mm-hmm.
So that can
mm-hmm.
actually be a triggering point as far as the viscosity of the layers that allow you to have airflow easily.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to exercise and you're getting your heart rate up and everything's perking the way it's supposed to, you're going to increase your breathing in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to shrink the esophagus path, because then the trachea takes its rightful place as being the mover of the carbon dioxide and the oxygen, because the BiPAP specifically moves that back and forth for you, because
mm-hmm.
you actually get too much carbon dioxide. It's like when you hyperventilate,
mm-hmm.
it's the same process, and that can be caustic to your bodiness
mm-hmm.
without this particular machine. But we gave a solution by increasing your activity,
mm-hmm.
increasing your activity, and then your body mass should be less, your breathing will be better, your heart rate will be increased, then as you would be more tired and are ready for a respite in your bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore that will actually slowly open that up better. Okay, now here's the next phase. The next phase is the what we call those pillow sleepers. Elevate yourself. Elevate yourself. Now, we're not big proponents of the great big wedge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those poly...
Yeah.
Those big triangular wedges.
Yeah.
We're not really smitten with those because of the break that it makes in the way the hips attach to the body.
Mm-hmm.
But they make shorter ones, or we can do it differently with a whole bunch of pillows. And we're not talking about feather pillows are okay, but we're not saying go out and buy $200 feather down pillows. It's not a big deal. But get a firm pillow, those larger pillows,
mm-hmm.
get a couple of them, and then layer them in almost like a triangle so you can adjust them to be comfortable in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of resting, not laying flat.
Mm-hmm. So that your neck isn't squished up even more.
That is exactly correct, which is what then causes those jowls to be even more developed and pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
See, and this can also affect the lymph nodes. You see, you make all that space. That's mm-hmm. where those we call it the grapes of wrath, the goiters and those great things that can grow in that area.
Uh-huh.
If you make space for those. Sometimes through that disconnection, you can activate those type of other disconnections
mm-hmm.
from this place of not resting well.
Because
This isn't about sleep, darling. This is because you're sitting. Most people sit around all day and they're exercising, sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about the time when you are actually in REM,
mm-hmm.
in deep sleep,
mm-hmm.
and that deep sleep being able to breathe. Without having to wake yourself up out of REM to catch your breath, that's
mm-hmm.
how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the EEG shows, even through your dream state. They can gauge and register your dreams
mm-hmm.
in those alpha, beta wave scenarios. And those also can have seizure realities, and we talked about that earlier, as a different type of disconnection, but it's still the same. It's the same song, it's just a different verse.
Which is so, what? When you get a seizure, it interferes with your breathing?
Yes, indeed. Your mind, the disconnection within the seizure, is what can cause you to fall in or out of that choking mode.
Mm-hmm.
Because folks with sleep apnea don't choke. They just are heavy, and they snore, and they can't breathe, and they choke. Not really choke, but they can't get their breath, and they're... You see, it's just the whole process. Those are all symptomatic, and that's what the sleep study tag is looking for.
So, but the seizure, can you tell me specifically what that does?
The seizure causes a disconnection, an interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
An interrupt. It's it's in the computer world, a control, alt, delete.
Mm-hmm.
And it shuts down the operating system
mm-hmm.
so it can reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And that seizure activity, which is easily gauged with an EEG, obviously, is also looking for a reason that activates your sleep apnea.
Uh-huh.
So there's a plethora of dimensions that can layer, that they all pile into the same thing called sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to sift through every component
mm-hmm.
to figure out which is what's the path. And then we've given the first, if it's just normal, increase your activity, maybe exercise, get your heart rate up, get yourself tired, go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And rest. Tired.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you'll ease into REM sleep much easier because your body is not going to require so much oxygen because you've been very active in your day,
mm-hmm.
so your O2 sats aren't going to drop.
Mm-hmm.
But now the typical sleep apnea, their O2 sats can get in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you're trying to increase lung function in the daytime.
Right.
So at nighttime, there's not all that pressure, and your body is normally oxygenating and getting rid of the carbon dioxide in your system. So you're practicing in the daytime to rest well and breathe appropriately at night.
Okay, great. And then you mentioned the thyroid and the lymph nodes and everything. So if they have, if they're swollen or any aspect of that, that can worsen the sleep apnea.
It does indeed. And actually it happens, that's noticed not so much from being swollen, it's an inflammation. Because, of course, see, through the lymphatic system, that's where it's going to land. Well, and then there you go. See, you have another reason to why this is your reality. And the machine does not cure it. The machine does not, sometimes doesn't do much for it. No more than putting those things that you put in your mouth if you're a big snorer.
Yeah.
Those things, the guards that you put in your mouth. And sometimes they do that if you grind your teeth. But it displaces the jawbone just a bit to the front, underbites. Underbite, not really underbite, but it moves the
jaw. Are you talking about a snore guard or the bite plate right now?
Both.
Do the snore guards sometimes they displace the jaw?
They do. They move the lower jaw a little bit forward, and in doing that, it allows you to force the trachea path open better.
Right.
And the guards that they use for folks that grind their teeth, that also makes a displacing in the jawbone. The people who have the not locked jaw, but it's the
TMJ.
TMJ, that's exactly right. The same thing, those all go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And those guards can either displace the back part of the teeth so that pathway is more open, and or the snore guards, which will protrude the lower jaw just a bit, so it helps that flow where that jawbone or the TMJ bone, the way it attaches, that can keep that to open and flow. People who try that and are effective, they typically end up with easy access to sinusitis.
People with TMJ?
People that are prone to the snoring and to the TMJ and that kind of thing, because, see, it's a little out of balance. So the sinuses aren't draining correctly. And sometimes if they are, that can affect that flow of how you're making sputum in your flow of keeping that wet. And that can also then bring on those seizure activities, lymph node activities, goiter, which isn't so much that, but goiter positions. Then, of course, then the excess body mass can also have, they're all wrapped together, and there's not one, if you get rid of this, it's all good, or get extra of that, and it'll straighten itself out. You've got to elevate yourself a bit until you can have more energy, and so it's a process.
And it just seems there's so much of this sleep apnea. Has it always been around, or are we just diagnosing it more now?
No, people quit using Big Salve.
And what did that used to do?
It the mentholatum, the or actually it was actually more camphor than it was the mentholatum. The camphor increased your exhaling of CO2. And it worked. Because the camphor, of course, as you well know, it is it's not an antioxidant, but what is it? An agent that inhibits the collection of carbon dioxide, which also makes silver tarnish, patina. Well, it does the same thing. It draws carbon dioxide. And the smell of that irritates the bronchial path. So therefore, it exudes more CO2. Well, guess what happens when you do that? You naturally embrace or inhale more oxygen. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's very simple. But now, see, you can't even buy real camphor anymore.
Mm.
You can buy the little blocks, but like medical grade, you can't get a tincture of what they call the camphophenique those days. It doesn't really have real camphor anymore. The camphor gum, and that's the best kind because that's what you'd make a poultice with.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do, you can get the blocks of camphor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're kind of smelly. I mean, it'd be like, you know, if you go to school with mothball smell on your clothes,
yeah.
It's not so pleasant. But if it saves you having to tie yourself to a BiPAP machine, hey, might serve you well.
Mm-hmm.
With the other conditioning responses that we've outlined here. Notice how we haven't just popped off and said, here's the disconnection, here's what's going on. Because it's really not like that at all. It's more like, it would be like you'd say, what is the disconnection when someone cuts the circulation off to their foot? Well, they've impeded the blood flow.
Yeah.
So it's not like that there's something you're doing that's putting your non-physical to trick your physical into catching cancer. This is that you're impeding the flow of air. So it's not even a disease. It's just a place that you find yourself of not resting. That's the big thing of not getting good rest, good REM sleep.
In the beginning you said that you were not getting the calories that you wanted.
You're craving the calories.
Mm-hmm.
That's a craving, that's correct. Because you would otherwise, then you'd be full and you'd stop eating. But if the craving isn't soothed,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to eat more.
You're craving calories because you're burning off with all this nighttime activity?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And sometimes if you notice the folks who suffer from this, and it's very interesting because if you want to take this on and help folks, these are things that you can notice, and you ask these tidbit little questions,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden they answer them, and you'll be amazed because they'll answer it the same way every time. Here you go. And now this is, we would normally point this towards someone that would be retired or kind of elderly.
Uh-huh.
That are kind of sedentary. They're just kind of sitting around sometimes. Maybe I'm not being mean. I'm just saying, somebody 75 years old doesn't get out and run marathons like they did when they were 20.
Yeah.
They
mm-hmm.
could, but normally that's not what you find. Correct.
Right.
Okay. They'll take a nap. Let's say they're read the paper, and they've done their chores, and they've done their stuff, and they sit down, they have lunch, or whatever, and they sit down in their easy chair, and there's a show they like to watch, and they might nod off and take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice what you'll find when that's the case, and you ask the question, when you take a nap, do you find yourself, when you wake up, hungry?
Mm-hmm.
Likened to when you break a fast in the morning breakfast where you slept all night, you ate at 5 in the afternoon, you went and finished your day, went to bed, slept all night, you've been 14 hours and you hadn't had a bite of food, you wake up and maybe you enjoy coffee or some juice or drink, and then you find yourself kind of hungry.
Right.
Well, that's 14 hours. But what you'll find with these particular folks, and it can be anybody, but typically those that are in a retired state where they have an afternoon nap, when they wake up, especially with this apnea position, and they've been sort of sleeping but not resting, burning calories, they could have a two-hour nap, have lunch, have a two-hour nap, and wake up hungry.
Hmm.
You see, so then all of a sudden they have a bite of something.
You're saying that, but see, if they're sitting up in their easy chair, they're not as likely to have the apnea.
That is absolutely correct. But once that comes into play and they're napping in the day,
mm-hmm.
we're not pushing against napping, but we're saying this is what you'll notice,
mm-hmm.
that any time they wake up, they're hungry.
Okay.
Now, if they sleep for 2 hours or 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
they wake up hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, so then they have a little bite to eat. Maybe not a big something, but maybe, you know, whatever they choose. But the grazing aspect, you see, is adding calories but not allowing digestion. And not allowing digestion then it puts it into a new place of the disconnection. So then they're adding more body weight, which, see, because everything that they're doing just to sort of survive is adding more pressure into the system that's causing them to be hungry in the first place.
Yeah, okay. Right.
That was kind of beating around the bush, but if you ask those simple questions, like if you have a nap, whether it's 2 minutes or 2 hours, do you wake up just kind of ravenous hungry?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they'll answer yes. And the more they answer yes, the more that'll get you closer to they're not resting when they're slumbering.
Mm-hmm.
Upright or laying down, it really wouldn't make any difference because you start adding 5 and 6 and 8 and 10 meals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. With the Vicks vapor rub,
We're not talking about Vicks vapor rub. We're talking about camphor.
Well, you said Vicks salve. Okay, so that's different than
It is different, but it's close. It's as close as you can buy now because they've outlawed camphor. You can't buy a real camphor anymore.
Yeah, okay.
What's
the substitute for creating the same increase of exhaling CO2? Is there a substitute?
The best you can get is the eucalyptus in a Vicks vapor rub.
Uh-huh.
The eucalyptus does that close. In the saunas and the spas,
uh-huh,
they'll use a eucalyptus to clean them because they're not toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in there into a spritz or to a steam bath,
yeah,
and it'll just open up your head. The eucalyptus,
mm-hmm,
is very, very, very close to that. Mm-hmm. Camphor's the first choice, but you can't buy camphor, so mentholatum, the eucalyptus in that, has a close effect.
Okay.
That's not the answer because, see, you've now eliminated camphor, added something else that doesn't work as well, and it's supposed to fix the problem of the issue. So that's not the answer, but it's a darn sight closer than doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there must be other things.
Well, we don't know what they are.
Hmm. Well,
if there are in non-physical, we don't know them.
Really? What about all the different essential oils that people
The essential oils are great. The essential oils are great, but they will not draw CO2.
Wow.
They won't.
Mm-hmm.
Camphor is the best thing on the planet to do that. Now, there are some types of, in acute cases, furosemide, which is a diuretic.
Furosemide.
Is that not what we said?
You said the kind of different. Furosemide.
Imagine that, having a different dialect.
Exactly.
You know? We have a little too much non-physical south in our mouth. Maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But diuretic.
Right.
Lasix.
Right.
Okay. Sometimes that can help reduce the fluid buildup, and that can allow your body to get rid of more CO2. But that's a dangerous path because now you're going to, you got your ketone acidosis with your potassium.
Yeah.
You see, you got too many, you're causing more trouble than you're getting solution.
Yeah.
But sometimes that can, if it's acute, sometimes that can assist with the clearing away of the water, but you have to be so careful with the potassium. Now, you'd say, of course, and also your magnesium, of course, but it is as true as the day is long. However, you got to worry about the potassium side when you start hitting the Lasix hard.
Now, are you saying magnesium can help?
It can. It absolutely can. Do you know why?
Well, because are you asking me a question?
No, we were going to tell you. But
I know. Go ahead. I wanted to show how smart I was for once.
Well,
you just,
darling,
go
you
ahead.
Just take that. No, you just take the floor, and then we'll clean it up. Go right ahead. It's all right.
Well, you
magnesium
mentioned earlier, are you going to let me or not?
I was going to get you, start you off on the magnesium and let you finish.
Okay. Then you're done?
Yeah, magnesium, and then you finish the soup.
You said earlier something about there's a muscle thing that happens where the muscles don't allow the air through. So
yes.
I was thinking that the magnesium would at least help short out the muscles so they weren't either too tight or too loose.
Well, and then to complete your correct thought, mm-hmm. we'll go to the next path. And the next path then includes the balancing of the esophagus. The size of the esophagus.
The what, sorry?
The size of the esophagus.
Uh-huh. Well, that's...
regulated.
Does that have to do with muscles as well? That's kind of
yes.
what I was getting at.
It was, and that's why I say it's a complete place. But here's the next side. The magnesium also increases the bronchial function. Yeah. You know, the cilia
yeah.
in the bronchi,
yeah.
bronchi, is that how you say that?
Right.
It's the correct proportioned magnesium. Now, there's a dynamic of this that you've got to be careful because you can get too much magnesium, and we know that, but we just want to be clear that you can't just OD on magnesium and it while the world's worries away.
Well, of course.
So, but giving that as an understanding, excuse me, easily a balanced level of magnesium
sure.
in the human body increases the cilia in the bronchial tubes. Well, they're not really tubes, but the cilia in the
We call them the bronchial tubes. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Then very good. That's fine. Just, we didn't want to get it all wrong.
Increases the number or increases their function?
Veracity.
Their ability to function.
The veracity. Because if you...
Veracity means truth. So I don't know what that means.
the truth of them working the way they're supposed to.
Okay.
The cilia going in and out of the bronchial.
Yeah.
Bronchi. The truth of the matter is that those cilia are supposed to go completely out and come completely in. And any type of bronchitis is the inhibiting or the falseness of that reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the truth is that they're supposed to go all the way in and all the way out. And if they do that, then you don't find yourself in this bronchitis world and all this other problem.
Now, when you say all the way into where and all the way out of where?
Within the node of the bronchi.
Ah, and I imagine if the bronchial tubes are too tight or too loose or whatever, then that opening is affected.
And the truth of that is they're not functioning properly.
Right. So all the way in and all the way out. Oh, that's very interesting. That makes
it is because it, and then you can lose some bronchial pathways,
mm-hmm.
and it's still, if everything's hitting on all cylinders, you don't really notice.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't really notice, then all of a sudden you have healthy breathing flow. Then all of a sudden it can be resuscitated, meaning with good oxygen, getting rid of the right amount of CO2, more easily. If they flourish.
And the cilia, the way they go in and out like that.
Yes.
Is it? Is there anything on the cellular level, or is it mainly the way the muscles allow that to happen?
We say it is cellular, Carolyn, because most everything is. But the dynamic that you're going to notice a difference would have to be on a cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have anything to do with the muscle? Well, of course. You know, if you can grow all the cilia you want to, but if you have a lung removed, it ain't going to help you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So they both are involved, but that's with the function of the muscle intact.
I guess the question about the cellular is more like, are the cilia going in and out of a cell or in and out of just a passageway in the tissue? Okay.
A passage in the tissue. But the tissue is the cellular balance of how it works and how it operates. So if there's any breakdown in the cellular level, it's going to affect that muscle.
Correct.
And that's when you're going to have the... Then you're going to find them with what they call COPD.
So at the cell level, which takes in the magnesium... To
yes.
make the muscles work, that's where we're
and
talking.
Allow it to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice how we're saying flourish, because there's not like a good or a bad. It's just they're working or they're not.
Right, very good.
And the more that are working, then they flourish. And if they flourish, then you're not going to have the apnea to start with.
Right. Okay, well,
we haven't given a cure for apnea yet, but we sure have gone all everywhere else, haven't we?
I know, and it's very much like many of the other so-called conditions that I deal with. You know, you just don't want to even be bothered dealing with these conditions because they all go back to, well, it's the diet you're eating, it's your lack of exercise, it's because you're not getting sleep, it's because you're not taking a few certain things, and, you know.
You're out of balance, and you don't know why.
Right. And
That's the answer.
You're out of balance. And you don't know why, and you won't believe it's got to do with everything because you just want it to be about one thing.
And it can be about one thing, and if they can address, embrace that one thing, that's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's homeopathy 101. Get rid of everything. Do this one thing and see what happens.
Uh-huh. Well,
and if you're bad or good, and if you're not, then it's not that, it's something else. And then it always comes back to wheat germ or something, allergic to wheat or gluten or some foolishness that's just sort of an excuse, but it's okay. But they eliminate everything and then get you into a place where you start noticing that you feel better. And when you start noticing you feel better, then you do.
Mm-hmm.
Then your cause is not lost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Okay.
Boy, that was a pity party, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we went around the block with that, and I like it.
It's good. Some other thing that can be very effective.
Yeah.
That might be a little more old timey.
Mm-hmm.
This is the old timey nose cannula.
Oh.
With some eucalyptus or something. Now, please know we're trying not to say go back into the poultice business, but you just got to. I got to tell you. For hundreds of thousands of years, that's worked just perfect.
I know. I'm always telling people to go poulticing, for Pete's sake. So I'm...
Go, because it gets back, it gets to the root.
Yeah.
The root is an action that has a quantitative effect on your balance of how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what everything should be about. But instead, they get this machine that pumps so many foot-pounds of air down your throat to keep your passageways opening.
I know.
It's the essence of an iron lung.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And that really makes them feel like, wow, I must be really sick if I need this machine. There you go. Yeah.
And it's not the end-all. It's a gradual buildup of that resistance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a resistance of getting rid of CO2. It doesn't happen overnight, and you don't get over it overnight. It is a process.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You don't wake up obese.
Yeah.
Now we don't know what obesity is because, you know, don't give me these 75-pound humans that think they're in this picture of health. They don't have enough fatty acids to live.
Mm-hmm.
You see, anything, any little wind will blow them away. We're great, healthy proponents of balance. You know, if you're a big, strapping 6'2", 6'3" man, you should weigh 150 to 200 pounds.
Right. Let's just check in with JW. I hear dinner sounds. Are we still okay? Or are we?
Yes, we are. We are. He's very, very. This has been the. It's been. He has had a great. It hasn't been stress, but it's been a lot of input, and it's kind of like waylaid him. So. To let Ion play a bit is really disconnecting from all these outside things.
Oh, nice.
So it's actually kind of restful.
Okay, good. Then
although he probably considered Scotch bit to be very restful too, but has it vibe, so pays the same either way. So let us play a bit. It's all right. If you're good.
Oh yeah, I'm fine. Okay. The other. Let me go back to that file. The other condition that I hear a lot about, and it's pretty new to me, is called gastroparesis.
Huh? Yeah.
And I wondered if we could talk about, throw that around the block a bit.
Okay. We don't like the phoresis. Now, see, we're saying phoresis, and you're saying paresis.
Paresis, yeah. It's the,
there's a difference.
Ability of the stomach to empty its contents is...
Well, but that's more phoresis.
No, they call it paresis. Paralyzing of the stomach. And it used to be that it was just in the nerves were affected in people with, like, diabetes or surgery. Diabetes, gastrectomy, systemic...
Gallbladder.
Not really. I don't know. But now it's like every second person has the symptoms of abdominal distension. They can't push their food through. So they're given these drugs to push food out of their stomach.
We don't know that.
Okay.
We don't know that. That you got to ask it a different way, because the way to push food out of your stomach is to eat more.
I know, but they're saying gastroparesis is a condition that affects the ability of the stomach to empty its contents, but there is no obstruction or blockage. And the symptoms
But now, hold on just a second. Think about that.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's crazy.
If the stomach loses its ability to empty its contents, then it will cause a blockage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's about as logical as don't throw a baby up in the air because you'll make his liver turn over. ever heard that?
No, but yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Well, because it's kind of like, no, wait a second here. All right, now let's get down to it. Now, if there is a paralysis of the stomach muscle, that has everything to do with the amount of acidity and the balance and the pH of the stomach's capacity to digest.
Mm-hmm.
So if the stomach's not digesting, then yes, if you want to call that paresis, then fine. We like phoresis better, when you have something that you can't digest and you got to throw it up rather than digest it. That's more logical for our benefit, because the dynamic, if you came to us with that, we'd put you on vinegar and the honey mixture.
Mm-hmm.
The sourwood honey, or local honey at the very least, and we would try to, or a dill pickle and sody pop, but you don't like the sody pop side, but the phosphorus in that process will kind of activate that to balance the acidity that can allow this to happen, because the distension that you're talking about is not based on food. It has to be based on the gases that are not being created for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
For the distension that you're talking about, it has to be that way.
Yeah, so what I'm much the same mind, I just thought, well, they have people who have indigestion. They give, usually these people are on medication, so they're on an antacid that blocks their stomach acid. So the food is just going to sit there and not want to move anywhere because it's not broken down enough.
Right.
So I guess, that we don't have to go into much more of that. I just wanted a bit of confirmation on what I thought it was.
Maybe there's something else that is symptomatic, that this is what they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see how you get, the next thing you know, they're going to have you on Meprigan for the pain, and that's just going to stop the bowel from having any digestion, and you're going to be so constipated that you're going to kill the system to make it be more pleasant.
I know, yeah, and there's a combination of things. It's people who've been on antacids, they've had heartburn, they're often overweight, there's a kind of profile, and it's just one more set of symptoms that they think they have a drug for.
Right, and it's a good excuse to keep those vinegar and suppositories ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
for this malady that they call their process. But we can't even, Carolyn, it's very interesting, we can't even give you a disconnection regarding this. And it's very odd because there's very few that you throw out that we don't just say, oh, well, that's, and this is, and this is, and this is. We don't, maybe it's something else that it would be known that we could embrace. But the obvious is, if you had that position, we would quadruple your amount of fiber. Straight out. And even if you are morbidly obese, you start, you four times your amount of fiber, it's going to work. Now, it may be painful getting it to work, but then of course, when they roll out the defibrillator, that's not very comfortable either. But it works. You shock your system back into flow. And so if that's what you're talking about, then hooray. But typically, though, if this is what you're talking about, this is going to be that onset, and then it'll go into your diverticulitis, it'll go into your colitis, it'll go into your gallbladder. It will have other, it'll telltale signs that it'll show up. And if you find and do good medical history, you may find that those that are suffering this have already had their gallbladder removed, or have a history of gallstones, or stray away from certain types of roughage because of a huge disconnection regarding diverticulitis. So if that links up, then that's your answer. They've been eliminating the other processes that were causing this same outcome. And so they're looking for a reason, because everything, it can't be my gallbladder, doctor, I had it removed. Can't be my appendix, that's not my problem, I don't have one anymore. Do you see? So if they've eliminated the other possibilities that they could look for a reason to blame, this just may be the new obstruction that they're using as their excuse for not digesting. We didn't say indigestion, we said not digestion. Maybe that's the softer side of that, but
yeah, that's good. That makes a lot of sense.
Gosh.
You pulled your way out of that like a
wow.
Genius.
Increase the fiber straight out. Starve a comb, feed a fever. That's it.
Right. Okay. Now I know you want to keep going and going and going, but I'm kind of at my lunch point.
Okay, darling, that'll be wonderful. We can do that.
It's okay.
He can eat, it'll be just fine.